Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on oxymorons when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools and banned from our public institutions and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they teach the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national consciousness. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties, and the 33 benefits that we receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call right now and order one. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email when you get there and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Well, we've been talking about oxymorons. An oxymoron is an insane comment. I'll read you the definition here. Remember, it's oxymoron. It comes from the word O-X-Y-S, oxys, meaning sharp, plus moros, M-O-R-O-S, meaning foolish. So it's a sharp, foolish. It's a combination for epigrammic effect of contradictory or incongruous words, such as cruel kindness, sharpest marble, military intelligence, and some other real cute jokes and stories that go along with this thing called an oxymoron. It's a real word, and oxymorons occur all around us all the time. And I was listening to my daughter tell me some of these oxymoron jokes, and I said, these aren't jokes. This is the real world. So, we talked about drunk drivers kill, and Social Security is the third rail of politics, shopping for a mortgage. If you don't get a college degree, you're going to freeze to death in the dark. We talked about education. And I got to thinking about cancer research the other day. And, you know, almost every day there's a little piece on, you know, Katie Couric or Brian Williams. There'll be a little 2-minute story on cancer research or cancer cures or or cancer this and cancer that, and we're studying cancer, and we've got this march on cancer, and we've got this run on cancer, and we've got this thingy over here to raise money for cancer research. President Nixon, back in the early 70s, declared war on cancer and earmarked $2 billion clear back in the 70s. God only knows how much money they're spending today, but you know, you take $2 billion a year. And that was in 70 or 71 or 2, something like that. And you spend $2 billion a year for 30 years, and that's $60 billion spent on cancer research. And the reason I say it's an oxymoron is because in 1900, the cancer rate was 1 out of 33. In other words, if you took the whole population of the country, only one person out of 33 would expect to get cancer in his lifetime. Today it's 1 out of 2, 50%. We've had a war on cancer for 30 years, and the cancer rate's gone from 1 in 33 to 1 in 2? And you say that's not an oxymoron? It's about as close to insane as I can think. Now, cancer is a bad disease, and nobody in his right mind wants to get cancer. It just so happens my wife has had cancer for the last 20 years. She got it in 78. Next year will be her 30th year since she was diagnosed with cancer. She still has it. Yeah, she's had cancer for 30 years. She'll die with it. We're just hoping she doesn't die from it, but there's no doubt she's going to die with it. All of us have cancer. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we do. Everybody has cancer. There's cancer cells in my body right now, and there's cancer cells in your body. And you have an immune system that's working, and your cancer is kept under control by your immune system, designed that way by God, you know. Well, it's either that or it evolved that way by accident and caprice. So I'm one of those that believes that it was created and designed, because it's a pretty complex system, that immune system, and it works pretty well. It works real well. And they're looking for a cure to cancer. Notice they're looking for a cure for cancer, just one. They're not looking for 2, 5, or 9. They're just looking for one cure for cancer. Hell, I can identify 13 cures for cancer. And I'm just a crummy plumber. I'm not even a cancer researcher, and I know of 13. There could be 15 or 17 or 26 or 42. I don't know. But I know of 13. And furthermore, I know that the FDA knows of those 13 cures also. Furthermore, the American Cancer Society, they know of all 13 of these cancer cures. And the reason that we don't have a cure to cancer is because it's a $500 billion a year business. And you can't take a $500 billion piece of the gross domestic product out of our economy and survive it. Boys and girls, cancer is a necessary part of our economy, just like the airline industry is a necessary part of our economy. You can't just shut down the airline industry without massive repercussions. The auto industry is a very vital part of our economy. You can't just shut down the auto industry without massive repercussions. The healthcare industry represents 16% of the gross domestic product. Half of that is cancer. You can't just take 8% of the gross domestic product out of the economy and survive it. Now, the war in Iraq is necessary and imperative for the economy. I don't know why politicians don't just come forward and tell us, look, we have an economy. Our economy is based upon inflation and fiat paper. To keep that system working, we have to constantly inflate the money supply. From time to time, we have to inject massive amounts of paper into the economy. We do it most often through budget deficits. Sometimes, when we need massive injections, we have to have a war. That's the way the game is played. That's the way the thing works. But you see, war isn't popular. I mean, if your politician came to you and said, well, you know, we need another war over here to help us stimulate the economy to keep all you people working out there, you know, to keep your military base open here in your area, you know, that would go over, you know, fair to middle and poor. But, you know, if some dirty bunch of Japs attack us at Pearl Harbor, or some dirty bunch of Vietnamese attack our ships out in the Gulf of Tonkin, or some dirty bunch of Arabs knock down a couple of our buildings, you know, well, we got to go take action. And so we do. And it stimulates our economy and it keeps the thing, keeps the ball rolling. Okay, well, cancer works right along that road also. And so when I hear people talking about cancer drives and cancer marches and one thing, and I've never marched for cancer, you know that? I think cancer is a bad disease. I don't see any reason to march for cancer. I'd just soon abolish it. But, you know, cancer is a penalty. Cancer is a result. Everything that we do in life has a result. Did you know that? You know, stop and think about it for a minute. You know, you're driving down the road, and then you're coming up to a turn, and then there's an arrow, you know, and it points about 90 degrees, and then there's a little sign down below. It says slow to 30. You ever seen those signs? You know, slow to 35. And you know, you're cruising along here about 75, and all of a sudden, you know, you see a sign that says slow to 35. That's inconvenient as hell, isn't it? I mean, we don't want to slow down to 35. We like to speed up to 90. But, you know, there's a result that comes from that. Now, when was the last time you took a 35-mile-an-hour curve at about 75 miles an hour? Have you ever tested that? You know, most of you are sitting there saying, nope, I've never tested that. Well, then how do you know that your car won't do it? Well, you're sitting there saying, well, that's crazy. Well, I know it's crazy, but, you know, you haven't tested it. You don't really have any first-hand knowledge that your car won't go around that curve at 70 miles an hour just because it says slow to 35. So, you know, there are people who have tested that. There are some people out there who have taken 35-mile-an-hour curves at 70 miles an hour. Now, what was the result? Well, there's a thing called centrifugal force, and it's a part of physics. And so as this car enters into the turn, you hear the squealing of rubber on the pavement. And the center of gravity of the car rises from the bottom up toward the roof, and pretty soon this car rolls over and tips over about three or four times and hits a tree down at the bottom of the bank, you know. And sometimes people die, you know, from those kinds of accidents. Which just proves the point. You know, just because the sign says 35 doesn't mean that you have to slow to 35, but it's a choice that you have to make. Well, most of us, you know, choose to slow down to 35. Well, at least 40 or 45. I mean, you know, you probably don't slow down to 35, but you don't try to take it at 75 or 80 now, do you? And if you do and you've been successful, send me an email and explain to me how that's done. I'd be kind of curious and interested to know. All right, well, now, cancer is the same way over here. You know, there has to be a cause for cancer. Now, when you go to the medical doctor, you know, and he says, oh, I've got this bad news for you. You have cancer. That's about the worst thing anybody can say to you. Well, other than, you know, you're some bad name. But, you know, you've got cancer over here. That's kind of a bad report, and you didn't want to hear that. So, I'm going to tell you that there's 13 cures for cancer. The FDA, the American Cancer Society, all know all 13. And they might know about 14, 15, or 16 that I don't know about. Because I'm not, you know, really on the cutting edge of cancer research. I'm going to tell you what these 13 are. I contend that this cancer thing over here is just a big scam, just an oxymoron. It's nonsense. There hasn't been a cure to cancer over the past 100 years. Well, at least not an official cure to cancer. And the American Medical Association, the AMA, they're the people who are the watchdogs and the guardians of the health of America. They're not the guardians and watchdogs of the health of George Gordon or Jackie Gordon or millions of other Americans who have taken their health care responsibility into their own hands. I mean, there are some people in America, wild as this may sound to you, but there are some people in America, and I would imagine probably around the world, who have total responsibility of their own bodies and their own health. Now, of course, most people can't do that. Most people need a guardian. So they go to a medical doctor and they say, I'm sick, I don't feel good. And so the doctor says, well, okay, open your mouth and let me look down your throat, you know. And so he pokes around in your body a little bit. And he says, here, I'm going to give you a prescription, send you down to the drugstore, gives you some drugs, and you go home, take some drugs. Take the pain away. Doesn't cure you. In fact, when it comes to cancer, the medical profession tells you, we don't know what causes cancer. Did you know that? That's right. The allopathic medical doctors do not know what causes cancer. I'm a plumber by trade. I know what causes cancer. I'm going to tell you. Cancer is caused by broken law. There are, I don't know, about 18 or 19 health laws in the Bible. If you practice those 18 health laws in the Bible, you cannot get cancer. It's impossible. Can't happen. So when somebody says he's got cancer, right away I say, oh, he broke one or more of those health laws. Sorry. Now, I just told you. Now, maybe you didn't want to know. Well, if you didn't want to know, you shouldn't ask. You're going to say, well, I didn't ask. You did too. You turned on the radio, and you're listening to the program. So evidently you wanted to know what I had to say, so I just told you. And now, if you don't want to know anymore, shut it off. I don't want to tell somebody something you don't want to hear. Now, the reason that these health laws are so important is because you were created, you didn't evolve. You were designed, and there's a design mechanism, just like there is in your on your 280Z or your Porsche. Now, that 280Z or that Porsche are pretty neat cars, but I don't think they'll go around that turn at 70. They'll go around that turn at more than 35, though. But I would be... If you want to take a 35-mile-an-hour curve in your Porsche at 70, I don't want to be riding with you. I want to be standing alongside the road, the other side, the uphill side. I want to be standing there and watch you do it. I want to watch and see you show me how to take that curve at 70. And that's the way I am with cancer also. You know, there are certain limitations in a human body. And there's some things you can do and there's some things you can't. Now, a lot of things that people cannot do, like eat pork, they want to do anyway so that they can show us that they can eat pork. And they do. And they don't die right away. But at age 52, 56, 61, they come down with cancer, colon cancer or something. Then they get real panicky, you know. And then they got cancer. And they go to the doctor and they say, Doc, what's wrong with me? And the doc comes back and says, well, you got colon cancer. So what we need to do is cut out about 6 feet of your colon and stick your anus on the side of your stomach and stick it into a plastic bag for the rest of your life. Well, you know, I took a look at that option and I said, well, I don't think I want to do that. Now, I like Italian dry salami just as well as anybody, and if God made anything better than a pig to eat, he probably kept it for himself. But, you know, I took a look at that, and here's my creator. He comes along and says, you can't eat pig, Gordon. And I thought about that, and I said, dogs eat pig. Yeah, dogs have lots of hydrochloric acid in their stomach, and you don't. You got some, but not as much as a dog. And that dog can eat pig, and he can thrive on it, but humans can't, and so you better not. And if you do, you'll probably come down with cancer. So there are cause and effect relationships with these diseases. You get about 450 of these diseases. And in the final analysis, when you get down to bottom line, you're either starving yourself to death, or you're poisoning yourself to death, or a combination of the two. So cancer comes from poison. Those are called carcinogens, if you want to get real scientific. Or starvation. That is, you don't have enough vitamin C, and so you come down with scurvy, or you come down with rickets, or you come down with something. And so medical science is smart enough to say, well, you've got scurvy. Well, what do I do, Doc? Take vitamin C. So he writes you up a prescription for vitamin C. Now, you could go out and eat some tomatoes or drink some orange juice and do the same thing, but, you know, Americans are scientific people. And when you've got scurvy, I mean, we're not going to go out here and drink orange juice, for crying out loud. That's stupid. What we do is go to the doctor. He gives us a prescription. We go down. We pay $100, $200, $300 for a prescription for vitamin C down at the drugstore so that we can get scientific and take scientific vitamin C to cure the scurvy. Now, there's some of us out here that don't have that much money and we're not that scientific, and so we just drink orange juice. And we don't get scurvy because we have an adequate supply of vitamin C in our bodies, and so therefore we don't have that problem. But, you know, a lot of people are busy, and so they have to eat out of McDonald's. So if you get real busy and you eat out of McDonald's, you probably don't have much vitamin C, and so you come down with some kind of an ailment. The ailment is called a disease. The disease has to have a drug. The drug comes from the drugstore, and so we get on drugs, and then we complain a lot, but, you know, we don't change our behavior. I would contend that's an oxymoron. You know, most people out there, you know, at least here in America, I mean, I can't speak for you people in Rwanda or Uganda or someplace out there in the third world, but, you know, here in the United States, you know, you people have been to college and you got degrees and been to high school, you know, and you got television, McNeil there. And you've seen these stories on the air. Hell, you know that high blood pressure is bad for you. Hell, you know that obesity isn't good for you. And yet you go out and eat at McDonald's and get fat and then complain because you got diabetes. You know, primarily people are about the proximate cause of their own injury. And so I say that's an oxymoron, you know, to get fat and come down with diabetes and then stand around, you know, on the street corner, oh, I just can't understand why fate has dealt with me so cruelly. Fate hasn't dealt cruelly with you. Every pound on your body went right through your mouth. Nobody came up to you, stuck a gun at your head and a spoon in your hand and said, eat it, or I'll blow your head off. And if somebody did, you know, it takes a long time to put on 350 pounds. You know, you'd have to have that gun to your head, you know, for 10 or 15 years to get all that fat on you. Now, you know, obesity is a bad problem, and I don't deny it. And we need to solve that problem, but, you know, it's just an oxymoron, you know, for people to get fat and then blame McDonald's. You know, in New York City, they said, well, we're going to make these McDonald's guys over here shape up and take the trans fats out of their French fries. I got a solution. I figured out that trans fat problem about, let's see, 1980, and this is what, 1990, 2000, 28 years ago, 27 years ago, I figured it out. That I stay out of McDonald's except for their coffee. Now, I really like McDonald's coffee. I used to go into McDonald's and get their coffee. It was the hottest coffee in the world. I mean, that coffee was so hot. You could buy a cup of McDonald's coffee, jump in your truck, drive 50 miles, and it would still be too hot to drink. I mean, that stuff was hot. Well, I like hot coffee, you know, being a truck driver and all, you know, I fill up my thermos bottle, you know, with this McDonald's coffee and drive down the highway. Hell, I could drive halfway across the United States on one thermos bottle of coffee. Never got cold. I mean, that stuff was like molten iron. I think you could take that McDonald's coffee and pour it over a piece of metal over there and turn it red hot so that you could beat it into a horseshoe. You didn't need a forge. You didn't need a furnace. You didn't need a steel mill. You just needed some McDonald's coffee. You could heat rivets with that stuff. Well, anyway, some lady, not understanding hot coffee, spilled some on her, burned her. And then she sued him, and now I don't even go into McDonald's for coffee anymore. I mean, that stuff is so damn tepid today, it isn't worth drinking. So the only thing that McDonald's ever had going for them was their coffee. And now they haven't even got their coffee anymore. It's cold. So I don't drink their coffee anymore. And I tried one of their Big Macs about 1980. They opened a Big Mac store down in Oakland, California. You know, I stopped in there. I didn't even finish the whole thing. I ate about half of it and I threw it away. And I said, oh my God, how can these people stay in business? And I went over to Burger King to get something to eat. But anyway, leaving that out of the equation over here, you know where cancer comes from. It comes from McDonald's, Burger King's, and Wendy's. Well, it's the other places in addition to that. I wouldn't single them out all by themselves, but you know that stuff ain't fit to eat. And so you come down with cancer, and then you get real angry, and you get real mad, and then you want to march for cancer. And so you take your fat body out here and you start marching around. Hell, you know, half of you people out here marching for cancer trying to raise money are risking a heart attack. I don't think I'd be spending a lot of time out there marching for cancer and risking having a heart attack or a stroke. So I just underlined marching for cancer, and I said, I think that's an oxymoron. Now, the medical profession comes along and says, we don't know the cause of cancer. Excuse me. Why in the hell would anybody go to somebody for a cancer cure or for a treatment to somebody that says, I don't know what causes it? I got a mechanic over here at the DX station. His name is Boyd. And I go over to Boyd and I said, Boyd, there's something wrong with my car. I don't know what it is, but listen to this. And old Boyd listens to that for a minute, and he comes back and he said, well, yeah, I know what's wrong with it. I say, well, can you fix that, Boyd? He says, yeah, I can fix it. I said, okay, thanks, Boyd. Now, he calls me up and says, okay, your car is fixed. And I go over and I start it up and the noise is gone, and I pay him his money and I drive off. Now, I can see the logic behind that, because Boyd knows what the problem is, he knows what caused it, and he knows how to fix it. Now, let's try this shoe on the other foot. You take your car over to a mechanic, and you say, can you hear that? And he says, yeah. And you ask him, you say, do you know what that is? He says, no. You say, do you know what causes that? He says, no. Can you fix that? And he says, well, I don't know if I can fix it or not, but I can work on it. And I charge $25 an hour, and I'll work on that until you run out of money, or until the noise goes away, whichever comes first. Would you leave your car with a guy like that? Well, you know, if you're brain dead, you might. If you've got any sense at all, you wouldn't. And when I go to a doctor and I say, do you know what causes cancer? And he says, no. Do you know how to cure it? And he says, nope. I don't see any point in spending any money there. Do you? But for some reason, people do that. And then they go to these same people to look for a cure to cancer. That's allopathic medicine. Well, allopathic medical doctors have found 8 cures to cancer and then quickly buried them because it impairs their income stream. Now, there are a couple of 3 cures to cancer that have been discovered by other people other than doctors, such as wheatgrass by Ann Wigmore. There's something in wheatgrass that is not wheat berries, not the stuff you grind up and make flour out of, but the grass as it's growing, and it gets up about 6 inches, and then you cut it. You know, you go into the health food store, or you go into the wild oat store, and they got a juice bar. And you can get carrot juice or celery juice or some kind of juice. And if you want, you can get wheatgrass stuck in there. Now, for most of you people out there, that's a mystery to you. But, you know, some of you people probably know what I'm talking about. You know, the juice bar juice. You see, if you're starving to death, that is, let's suppose that you're short of some kind of vitamin or mineral in your body, and it develops into a tumor called cancer. If you go to the health food, health bar, juice bar, and you drink wheatgrass, did you know that tumor will go away? I thought I'd tell you that just in case you didn't know. Well, a lady by the name of Ann Wigmore discovered that. Now, I don't know what Ann's background was. She had a clinic up in New England someplace. I don't remember exactly where. But juice and raw food. Did you know that cancer is called the cooked food disease? Cooked food disease. If you eat raw food, your cancer will go away. Yeah, that's true. And if you don't eat cooked food, you will not get cancer. Yes, sir. There you are. If you don't eat cooked food, you will not get cancer. Now, there's a thing called Indian black salve. It's called cancema, and it's made with bloodroot. Now, bloodroot is an herb, and it's a plant, is what it is. And bloodroot is poison. I mean, that stuff will kill you. Bloodroot, you know, if you take too much of it. But a little bit of bloodroot in the Indian black salve will burn a skin cancer clean off. Did you know that? I had one time when I put this can seam on, burned out a hole about as deep as a dime, about the size of a dime. God, it was an ugly looking thing. humming. It was oozing pus and slime and filth. And it had this nasty scab come on. And then it healed from the bottom up. And today, you can't even see the scar. Well, I guess I can, too. I can just barely see a little white spot here on my arm. Guess it won't take a tan anymore. And then there's ozone, garlic, Essiac, Royal Rife Frequency Machine, coffee enemas, vitamins and minerals, Laetrile, that's vitamin B17, Easter lily ovum, vitamin mineral therapy. And then here's the old standby, cut, burn, and poison. Yes, sir, Rebob. Did you know that surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy will cure cancer? That's right. Does it 37% of the time. So if you have cancer and you go to the allopathic medical doctor and he cuts your cancer out and it doesn't recur, that's a cure. If he subjects you to radiation and it kills the cancer tumor and it doesn't kill you in the process, that's a cure. And they can put you on chemotherapy and give you drugs and kill that tumor. And if that doesn't kill you in the process, 37% of the cancer patients that are treated by surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy survive it and are cured. And there's a guy that was a bicycle rider. I don't know. Some famous guy rides bicycles, and he was over in France and he was riding his bicycle and he won the race, and he'd done it 4 or 5 times. Well, anyway, well, whoever that guy was, he had cancer one time. Healthy young fella, you know, good looking, healthy young guy, come down with cancer, went to the doctors, cut, burn, poison. He's one of that 37%. Now, the other, you know, the other 63% of people out there that don't go to the doctor in time and get cancer, they die. Because they all go to medical doctors. Now, there's a few people that practice wheatgrass, juice, and raw food, canseum of bloodroot, ozone, garlic, Essiac, Royal Rife, coffee enemas, vitamins and minerals, Laetrile, Easter lily, and vitamin mineral therapy. There's 12 cures to cancer beside cut, burn, and poison. And since the American Cancer Society knows about all of them, and the FDA knows about all of them, there isn't any need for us to look for a cure to cancer. We already have 13. Now, cut, burn, and poison, that's number 13, is approved, and it makes a lot of money. The other 12 are inexpensive, don't make a lot of money, and that's why we don't use them. Well, at least that's why allopathic medical doctors don't use them. Now, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. And we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School or the Law Hour, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And we've got quite a bit of information there about us. I think we've told you just about everything that we can think of. If you can think of something that you want to know, then call us here at the law school, because we offer a free introductory CD package. So you go to our website and you look on there, and if there's something that you can think of that we haven't told you on that website, you can call us direct at 417-273-4967 and ask personal, upfront, live and direct. And while you're at it, ask for our free general law CD package. We'd like you to have one, but I don't want to give you something that you don't want. So I make you call me and tell me that you want it. And if you call me and tell me you want it, I'll send it to you. And I won't charge anything for it. And then I'll tell you even more. I'll tell you more about cancer and all kinds of crazy things that most people don't want to hear. Again, that's 417-273-4967. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. That means that we don't discriminate against most people. And it's open to individuals, that's people like you, but by prearrangement. That's by invitation only. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And that means that you can do this at home. You don't have to come to school. And if you'd like more information, you can go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Homeschooling page means that's one of many. The LAUR website is updated every week, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the web page as well. That means every week we put new information on our web page. And that's assuming that Wes does it this week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. That's so that you can listen to these programs on your computer when you have the time. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on 10 different subjects, such as law, science, education, politics, religion, health, that's what we're talking about today, cancer, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. All right, now the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. That means that nobody else is prompting me. And they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. And what that means is don't blame anybody but me for what I say. Now, the moral to this story is if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org. And the reason I repeat that again is because you might not have had a pencil when I said it first. We hope you have a pencil now. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about oxymorons, and searching for a cure to cancer is an oxymoron. Now, we have 13 cures to cancer. You do not need to march for a cure to cancer. And we've already got a bunch of them. We need to use what we've already got. You know, it's like Rosie O'Donnell, you know, after the Columbine shooting. Oh, Rosie, she said, what we need is gun control legislation. I don't think that woman understands. We've already got 25,000 gun laws. There's more gun laws in the United States than any other country in the world, including Iraq. Saddam Hussein never prohibited those people from practicing that dream of the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. All those people are armed. To this day, they run out in the street shooting off these AK-47s into the air. Every time their soccer team wins a game, all these Iraqis run out in the street and start firing off rounds. Why don't you do that in Oakland, California, or Los Angeles, or Anaheim? You know, when the New York Yankees win a game in the World Series, just run out in front of your house and fire off 30 rounds. See what happens to you. I don't think you can do that here in the United States. I don't know about Rosie. You know, I don't think she understood that. Anyway, these two kids, they shot a bunch of people there at a high school there in Colorado. Remember that? And then Rosie O'Donnell said, well, we need is more gun control legislation. And they talk about an oxymoron. You know, that Rosie, you know, is a little fat. And Rosie O'Donnell saying that what we need is gun control legislation because of a shooting in a school is like blaming spoons for O'Donnell's fat. Boys and girls, it's not the spoon. Keep your mouth shut. All that weight that you're carrying around on you, they all went through your mouth. Every ounce of it went right through your mouth. Now, we do have a treatment, the medical doctors tell us. They do. They got cut, burn, and poison. Cures 37% of the cancer patients. What about the other 63%? I don't know about you, but you know, if I took my car over to Boyd and 37% of the time he can fix it and 63% of the time he failed, I wouldn't go back there. Now, I've been taking my car over to Boyd for 25 years. 25 years. Not one single time in 25 years has he failed to fix my car. I mean, that mechanic is phenomenal. And I've had all kinds of crazy things go wrong with my car. Like one time, the windshield wipers didn't work. And then I took it over to Boyd, and I don't know what he did. I just know that when I went back, flipped the switch, and the windshield wipers worked. In 25 years, I have never been able to take any mechanical problem in any car, pickup, truck, motorcycle. I mean, if that thing's got a motor in it and you take it over there to Boyd, and I'll tell you something else. I have never heard of anybody in my neighborhood ever say that Boyd Garrison could not fix what was wrong with their machine. Not once, not in the 25 years I've been here. Now, when we talk about medical practice, they say, well, we don't know what causes diabetes, and we don't know how to cure it, but we got a treatment. We don't know what causes cancer, we don't know how to cure it, but we got a treatment. I mean, you know, boys and girls, when somebody says, I don't know what causes this, and I don't know how to fix it, doesn't strike me as being the kind of guy that you'd want to entrust with your car, let alone with your body. Now, here's another little fact over here I thought was kind of interesting. Did you know that medical doctors, you know, the average, everyday, garden variety, medical doctor dies at age 58? Did you know that? There's a guy named Joel Wallach. He's a veterinarian. Joel Wallach put out a tape and it says, dead doctors don't lie. I thought that was kind of strange. Dead doctors don't lie. I thought that's strange. What else have they got to do but lie for the rest of eternity? They're dead. What are they going to do? Stand up? Well, he wasn't referring to their physical position. He was referring to facts that medical doctors don't live to be an average age of 75.5, because that's what the average American lives to. See, the average American lives to be 75 years old. So if you're just an average Joe Sixpack, you can expect to live to be 75. If you're the average Joe Sixpack medical doctor, you can expect to live to age 58. I thought that was an oxymoron even by itself. If you're a medical doctor, you're a paid professional. You've got letters after your name. You've been to college. You've been to medical school. You've been to internship. You've been in the hospital. I mean, if there's anybody that knows how to stay alive, if there's anybody that knows how to cure disease, if there's anybody that knows how to live to be a ripe old age, it's got to be a medical doctor, doesn't it? Well, then why do they die at age 58, on average? Well, I don't know, Joel Wallach on his tape, you ought to see if you can get a copy of it. Let me see if I can give you Wallach's phone number here. This guy, Joel Wallach, he's a nut. If this guy ain't a nutcase, he wrote an article here, this is Joel Wallach, he writes an article called The Argument for Expensive Urine. Yeah, it's The Argument for Expensive Urine. Essential mineral and vital supplementation. The guy's a veterinarian. He said on his tape, or one of his tapes, he said, the reason that we do not operate on cows for heart disease, diabetes and stroke, cancer, muscular dystrophy and lupus is because it's too expensive. You can't make any money, can't make any profit off of milk cows. By the time you pay the veterinarian, you know, you say your cow has a heart attack, and so you call, you know, the veterinarian. He rushes out, and he does triple bypass surgery, you know, on your cow. You know, the cost of that triple bypass surgery on that cow would be more than the cow is worth, more than the cow is going to produce for the rest of her life. So to prevent heart attack in cattle, do you know what we do? We give them mineral supplements. And Wallach says what you do is you put this mineral supplement. It's a 50-pound block of salt. It's a 50-pound salt block, and it's full of minerals. And he said what you do is you put that 50-pound block of mineral on the dining room table, and every time you walk past it, you reach over and you lick it. And if you do that, you won't get heart attack. Now, that's pretty off the wall, wouldn't you say? Well, anyway, this guy's name is Joel Wallach. And he's looking at, here's a picture of advanced breast cancer. Notice the severe burn resulting from radiation. The risk of contracting cancer can be considerably reduced with adequate selenium intake. Here's muscular dystrophy in preteenager, which can be prevented with adequate supplementation of selenium. Boys and girls, people with muscular dystrophy have a selenium deficiency. People with scurvy have a vitamin C deficiency. People with rickets have a mineral deficiency. It's a vitamin deficiency for rickets. Not minerals, vitamin. Anyway, this guy Wallach, I think if you go to Google and punch in Joel Wallach, J-O-E-L-W-A-L-L-A-C-H, Joel Wallach, or Dead Doctors Don't Lie, I'll bet you Google could give you that guy's name and number. Oh, here it is. Article submitted by Dr. Joel D. Wallach, consultant to Soaring Eagle Ventures Incorporated. Oh, this is an advertisement. They're selling vitamins and minerals. I don't want to give you a free ad here. I'm just going to tell you. Go to Google and find this guy, Wallach. He's a veterinarian. He's a medical doctor. His wife is a medical doctor. And the both of them, that is him and his wife, they know all 13 cures to cancer. Can you believe it? And Wallach isn't the only guy. There's a lady by the name of Renee Cassie. R-E-N-E-C-A-I-S-S-E. This lady, Renee Cassie, was a nurse up in Canada. Well, anyway, she had a lady come in, and this lady had a breast with a big scar in it. And so, Nurse Cassie, it's back during World War I. So, Nurse Cassie asked this lady what that scar was, and she said, oh, it's the healed over breast cancer. Well, Nurse Cassie saw this great big huge scar on this lady's breast, and she says, oh my God, how did you do that? And she said, well, I had this Indian remedy. It was an Indian remedy. I got it from the Indians. I forgot the name of the Indian tribe. But this stuff is called Essiac. See, Renee Cassie spelled her name backwards, E-S-S-I-A-C, and she called it Essiac. She didn't discover it. It was the Indians. See, the Indians up in Quebec have been curing cancer with this formula for, I don't know, God knows how long these Indians have been doing this. You know, a long time before the medical profession ever figured out that they couldn't cure cancer, didn't know what caused it. The Indians were curing it. I'm not sure that they knew what caused it, but they at least knew how to treat it and cure it. Well, anyway, Cassie said, well, would you tell me what that is? And this old lady said, yeah. She told her what the remedy was. And so she went to her doctor, you know, a doctor there in the hospital, and told him the story. And they tested it, and it worked. And so they went out, and they started treating people with cancer with this Essiac, this Indian formula up there. And they tried to put her in jail. They put her out of business. They threatened her. Ah, God, I don't blame them. I mean, you know, look at it pragmatically. You're ExxonMobil Corporation, and you're selling gasoline. And some guy comes along with an invention called a carburetor. And normal people get 8-10 miles to the gallon, and you're selling lots of gasoline. And some guy comes along with this carburetor that will double, triple, or quadruple the mileage of automobiles. Would you want that thing on the market? Would you want better, more, greater gas mileage if you're selling gasoline? I mean, you know, let's just be intelligent people. You're selling gasoline, and some guy comes along and says, I've got a carburetor that'll get 100 miles to the gallon. And Mr. Exxon, I would like you to bankroll me in putting this gadget on the market so that we can extend the oil reserves of the world for 1,000 years. I mean, you know, I'm a businessman. I like to deal in reason, logic, and common sense. All right, so here comes this lady, Renee Cassie, Nurse Cassie. She's a medical professional. She goes to the doctor she's working for in a hospital, says, hey, this old lady's got this thing. She's got this great big scar on her breast. She cured it with this. It's an Indian remedy. Let's test it. They tested it. It cured cancer in other people. They said, gee, we got a cure to cancer. We can rid the world of this scourge of cancer. And so the Allopathic Medical Society of Canada went to war against them. I mean, they went into the legislature. They sent lobbyists in there to ban Essiac in Canada. I don't know if you knew that, but you Canadians discovered a cure to cancer. Did you know that? It wasn't done in the United States. It wasn't done in Russia or China or Germany or England. It was done in Canada, of all places. Nobody ever gave a Canadian credit for inventing anything, did they? The Russians invented a bunch. We know that. And the Americans invented a bunch. But Canadians? Yeah, that's true. Well, really, it's not exactly 100% true. It was the Indians in Canada that invented it or discovered it. God, that's even worse yet, isn't it? A bunch of savages in Canada invented a cure to cancer. All right. There's another one over here, though, called black salve. This is really an interesting one. This comes out of Wyoming. It was discovered by the Indians. I don't know if it was the Wyoming Indians or not, but the story that I heard was that the Indians in Wyoming are making this black salve. It's called Cansema. That's the trade name that they get. You can't get it here in the United States. It's illegal. Well, it makes all the sense in the world. We don't want to cure skin cancer with something that costs $12. That's what I think I paid for it. Maybe it was $30. I forgot. You get this little... You gotta send mail order down to the Bahamas. You gotta order this from out of the country. I mean, if you've got cancer and you want to cure your cancer, you gotta go to Mexico or Switzerland or someplace. You can't do that in the United States. I mean, you can get cured... If you've got cancer and you need a cure... Well, you go to Mexico. You can cure cancer down in Mexico all day long. Can't do it in the United States, against the law. Anyway, these Indians out here in Wyoming make it. And I guess they sell it on the black market, but I don't know how to get it from the Wyoming Indians, so I get it out of the Bahamas. And it costs, I thought it was $12, but I'm getting signaled from across the room that no. And the number comes up 30. It's $30. You don't get very much, but you don't need very much. You just take, you put it on a matchstick, and then you just spread it around on the skin cancer that you got. Oh God, that stuff burns! I am telling you, it hurts. I don't deny that it burns, and it's going to feel real bad for a couple of days. But if you can take that, it'll just burn that cancer right out. And the crazy part of it is, skin cancer has these root canals like a tree. And when it ate mine out over there, you could see three distinct channels that went about, maybe 3/8 of an inch down in that pus, down there. And it just ate it all right out. And then it healed from the inside out. And I just told you a while ago, I said, hell, hard to have a scar. Okay, now, that's banned in the United States because the active ingredient is bloodroot. Bloodroot. You can grow bloodroot. You can buy bloodroot. Some states have banned it, but, generally speaking, you can get it in interstate commerce. Bloodroot is the active ingredient in both Essiac and Indian black salve. And that's because God designed an herb to cure cancer. It's called bloodroot, just in case you wanted to know. Now, for all you medical doctors out there that don't know how to cure cancer, you stick with your program, because your program makes a lot of money. If I had gone to a doctor with this cancer on my arm, he would have cut it out, burned it out. He'd have done something, I'm sure of that. But it would have cost me more than $30. Hell, the doctor's office visit in our little town here of Gainesville is $75. And I was told about this by a guy and given an address, and I've got the address here, Cansema Hoxie and the History of Escharotics. And this is called the McDougal Plan. I got a little story here. I got a brochure here on this Indian Black Sabbath. I can't tell you what it is over the air. Oh, my God. Do you know what would happen to me if I told you about how to cure cancer over the air? You know, you could go to prison for a long time. You know, a lot of people have been locked up in American prisons for curing people of cancer. Do you know that? It's against the law to cure somebody with cancer. Well, unless you're a medical doctor using surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. If you're a medical doctor and somebody comes into your office and you prescribe juice and a raw food diet, do you know that you could go to prison for that? So if you're a medical doctor, my God, whatever you do, don't you ever prescribe wheatgrass, juice, and raw food diet, bloodroot, cancema, Indian black salve, ozone, garlic, Essiac, coffee enemas, vitamin and mineral supplements, Laetril. You heard about Laetril. That's those peach pits, you know, peach pits. They outlawed those here in the United States. You can get around it. What you do is you go down to Walmart and you buy peaches and you take them home and you peel, you know, you get this peach and you throw the peach away and you keep the seed and you take a hammer and you beat the seed and then inside that seed there's a little kernel in there. You eat that. Cures cancer. God, they've spent millions. I don't know how much money the Food and Drug Administration has spent, but it's in the millions of dollars to ban peach pits and apricot pits in America. They haven't succeeded yet, but they're working hard at it. I say this is an oxymoron. I say searching for cancer cures is stupid. You already got 13. What would you do if you had 26 cures to cancer? What would you do if you could spend $1 trillion more dollars and come up with one more cure to cancer? I don't care. No, I'm not opposed. If you want to spend billions and billions of taxpayer dollars a year to find a 14th cure to cancer, be my guest and get after it. I don't want to get in the way of America's search in science for a new cure to cancer. But it would seem like to me that 13 is probably enough, and I'm not opposed to surgery. I mean, you know, it's a cure. You got a tumor, and you cut it out. Or the radiation. You know, you got radiation, you nuke it, and it dies and goes away. Fine. Or you can poison it, you know, with some chemical. It works 37% of the time. The problem is, as I see it, 63% of the time it doesn't work, or 63% of the time you didn't get to the doctor on time, and 63% of you out there then are going to die relying upon cut, burn, and poison, which is cure number 13. There are 12 other cures out there, boys and girls, and they're a lot cheaper than cut, burn, and poison also. So I just thought I would bring that to your attention and tell you plainly that searching for a cure to cancer is an oxymoron. Hey, I'm out of time again, so I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the internet daily. And again, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour and a cancer cure or two, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967, or go to our webpage, georgegordon.org. Remember, we offer a free introductory CD package. Doesn't have anything to do with cancer cures, but it is an introductory CD package and tells you a lot about the law. To order one, call us at 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.